As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James. And before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind the scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
The panic alarm rings out all through Xavier School for Gifted Mutants. Something is here, and it must be stopped. Red alert, all mutants ordered on scene to defend the campus. Just as loud, though, as the blaring alarms, the sound of destruction competes for attention as Doomsday has landed just outside the school and he longs to kill. With Doomsday tearing everything and everyone around him to shreds, the entire X-Men team arrives to face him down. Doomsday looks them all over, lets out a powerful war cry, and jumps headlong into battle. It's the uncanny versus the deadly. It's the mutants versus the ultimate life form. It's the animated X-Men versus Doomsday. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis. March Madness has officially hit its peak at the Who Would Win show with today's insane and albeit epic battle. In one corner, you have the iconic animated series from the 90s, now continuing in its new form as X-Men 97, who has come back in this crazy epic animated form. All I'm trying to say is watch it on Disney Plus. It's absolutely fantastic. And in the other corner, you have the one thing, that one unstoppable force of destruction that did the unthinkable and killed Superman. Of course, I'm talking about Doomsday. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And even though this battle, in my opinion, at least should have been discussed sometime in the mid to late 90s, there is no sign of this exact battle being discussed anywhere. So yet again, we bring you a premier never discussed before battle in geek culture. You're welcome, Legion of Audience. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's battle?
I am fired up over today's battle. I am a huge fan of the X-Men 90s animated series, and from what I've seen of the first couple episodes of the new X-Men 97, it is great. It slaps, and not just that, two of the characters on the show have been judges on the Who Would Win show. You got Matthew Watterson as Magneto, and you got AJ LoCascio as Gambit. Both have been on this show before, so I feel like as I'm cheering for X-Men 97, I'm cheering for myself, and that's a place I can get comfortable.
Look, I'm not going to lie. There's a lot of weight going into today's episode. I mean, really, this is a huge responsibility because I think this matchup, this particular episode of the Who Would Win podcast, could be so epic that it's most likely going to be studied thousands of years from now as a prime example of upper tier geek culture in the 2020s. No lies told whatsoever. And when you have a responsibility to the public, to the fans, to the legion of audience, to all of those who have spent years, thousands upon thousands of dollars to celebrate Marvel and DC Comics like we're doing with today's battle, you need a judge who can do the seemingly impossible and determine a winner. And we've got that person today, making another appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's the creator of the geek culture news behemoth known as ComicCrusaders.com. It's podcaster extraordinaire. It's the one, it's the only, it's Al Mega. Al, welcome back to Who Would Win.
Weepa! Thank you, team, for having me back here. Can't wait to get into this extremely cool and crazy battle. I can't wait to see what points you guys are going to be having on deck, because this is, as you said, not something that has been spoken about. I did a little homework myself. When I saw the pictures, I said, what's going on here? I was like, let me see something real quick. I said, ooh, it's true. Never have I seen this. I can't wait now to see what you guys are going to talk about. And let's see, will Ray convince me? Will James finally score with me? I don't know. Let's see.
Al, you and I are so often on different pages of a similar book. Let's see what happens today. Now, before we get into the battle, please tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
Oh, my God. James, thank you for bringing this up. This year, folks, at C2E2, April 27th, 4:30 p.m., I will be emceeing the first ever Heroic Awards, which is an award show that is focused on, it's basically, a celebration, if you will. Indie comics is going to embody the essence of creativity and passion within the comic book industry. It's going to be a thrilling event. And again, it's at C2E2 this year, the first ever. It's going to be 11 different awards being given out to very well-deserving independent creators and small press and publishers. We have a whole bunch of cool sponsors we've been working on. And a big shout out to my man, Richtery, that actually thought about all this and has formed a mighty army to put together this amazing award show. So the Heroic Awards at C2E2, folks, I'm totally excited because this is about indie for indie, and it's about time.
I would say you're talking about the Heroic Awards, and let me just say from the bottom of my heart, I accept. I accept the award for being the most heroic. I think you said something about indie comics. I didn't understand that. But obviously, you're going to be presenting me with something. You don't have to tell me right now. Just know that in my heart, I will accept whatever award and trophy you would like to present to me.
If we had the Heroically Loud Awards, he'd probably win.
I will take it.
I think Ray's going to win for the Heroic Awards. He's going to win the NFL Super Pro Award, which goes to the professional who tries to make it in a sport like NFL Super Pro, but doesn't because they hurt themselves walking downstairs.
It's tough to be NFL Super Pro. I'll tell you that right now.
It is. Now, Al, listen, you know, clearly this is an award ceremony that and a show that has been needed in the industry for years, decades. What was it that made you and your team say, hey, now's the right time to do this?
Well, Rick is an independent creator, and he backed many projects, he says, during the course of the years. And he's just seeing like, wow, a lot of this stuff is amazing. And yet, doesn't sit by the shelves next to the big two of premiere books. Why? They're just as deserving. So hopefully with the Heroic Award, what we hope to accomplish is be able to set eyes on amazing independent creators and hopefully help them get, you know, noticed a little bit more, especially at an event like C2E2. Where there's a bunch of publishers and shops, you know, and other creators. So hopefully we could, you know, build bridges and give these amazing independent creators an opportunity just to be heard and seen on a bigger scale.
There you have it from Almega. Check it out on C2E2 in April. Be part of the show or at least follow all the social media celebration that's going to be going with the show. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Look, I'm insanely excited for today's episode. We have a world-class matchup, X-Men, the animated form versus Doomsday. With Ray Cicanus, myself, doing our best, we're on a run, and we have the epitome of geek culture embodied in an actual human being in Al Mega today. It does not get any better than this. With all that being said, Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Animated Studios, the team more loaded with mutants than the 1996 Colorado Avalanche, the X-Men.
Yeah, I didn't like that hockey team.
And representing DC Comics, the monster that came back so many times, He makes Jason Voorhees look like a quitter. Doomsday.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed, and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Doomsday.
Doomsday is the monster that killed Superman. He was created by Dan Jurgens, Brett Breeding, Jerry Ordway, Louise Simonson, and Roger Stern. And he first appeared in Superman, the Man of Steel, number 17, all the way back in 1992. Genetically engineered to be the ultimate killing machine, Doomsday was dropped as a baby on a hostile world over and over and over again until his DNA grew so strong that he took over that world, then killed the people who were performing the experiment on him. Doomsday is fast, strong, durable, and always comes back from the dead no matter what. And every time he does, he remembers what killed him and will not let that happen again. Fun fact, now we all know that Doomsday first appeared on screen in the movie Superman Returns, right? But did you know he was originally slated to appear in live action much sooner? Yeah, back in 1998, a version of Doomsday was slated to appear in the famously canceled Nicolas Cage movie, Superman Lives. Now, this version of Doomsday was going to be created by Brainiac and would encompass much of the death of Superman storyline from the comics. Nick Cage fighting Doomsday? The world really did miss out when that got canceled. And that is Doomsday.
Well done. Now, here are the details for the animated 90s X-Men series. Now, I'm just going to call it X-Men 97, which will be the team we're repping today, is an American animated television series created for the streaming service Disney Plus based on the Marvel Comics superhero team X-Men. It's a revival of X-Men the Animated Series from the 90s, which was written and produced by the incredible team of many people, including Julia and Eric LaWalde, and aired from 1992 to 1997 and continues from where that series ends. It depicts the X-Men facing dangerous new challenges following the loss of their leader, Professor X. Look, in case you didn't know, the X-Men are a team of mutant superheroes in the Marvel Comics universe, found by Professor Charles Xavier, a super powerful telepath. They fight for peace and equality between humans and mutants in a world where anti-mutant bigotry is widespread and severe. And here's an interesting fact about X-Men 97. Did you know that writers and producers weren't sure if people wanted a continuation of the series and the storylines from the original X-Men animated series? It's true, as ridiculous as that sounds. So look, I was lucky enough to have coffee with Julie and Eric LaWalde years ago, and the topic of what happened to the characters after the end of the original X-Men series came up. I made it very clear that thousands, and more likely millions, of people around the world would want to know these stories. Eric and Julia weren't so sure for some reason. I told them people at conventions, college campuses, and so many other places would line up to hear about the continued stories of Wolverine and Cyclops and the X-Men from the animated series. Now, of course, I was not alone, as there were many, many others who also, before and after me, said the exact same thing to them. And now, with the insane success of X-Men 97, you know, the animated series that continues the story that Julie and Eric and their team brought to life, all I can say is, I'm so happy for you, and thank you for all of your hard work. Watch this series right now, because it's absolutely fantastic. By the way, there's a lot more to this story in my coffee I had with Julie and Eric. If you want to hear more about my hard questions to them, and what my answer was when they put me on the spot and challenged me to prove how big of a fan of the X-Men animated series I was, go to www.patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you'll find out exactly how that conversation went. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Al, do you have any questions before we get started?
And we're using the whole X-Men 97 squad as pictured, you know, in this picture you have behind you, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
It's not enough. It's not enough, James. I hope you're lying and you're bringing so much more to the table. Let me just pull back the curtain. I told James in the boardroom, what are you doing? James asked for this specific battle. And I said, me with Doomsday against you with the X-Men, can't we possibly find somebody a little softer? And James is like, no, I'm going to take you at your best, and I'm going to beat you. And I say, James, if I am truly at my best, you have no chance.
The fighting words.
for those who don't know, that's exactly what happened, by the way, in the boardroom. And I am still convinced that the X-Men, the animated series team, has exactly what it takes to take advantage of Doomsday's, how should we say, limitations to get the victory. But more on that later. Ray, please go ahead. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one from Doomsday. Let's just talk about his raw power, because Doomsday is the ultimate killing machine. As I mentioned before, a common refrain when people fight Doomsday, and this is all across up and down the roster of DC heroes and villains, they all say the same thing after fighting Doomsday for the first time. They say, oh my goodness, I've never been hit that hard before. He hits Superman harder than he's ever been hit before. And that's Superman. That is truly saying something when Doomsday is the ultimate physical specimen of the DC universe. One would argue an enhanced, roided up version of a comic book universe that Marvel doesn't quite get to that level. And let's just remember, he has a memory himself of all the times that he's died. He has a hatred of every single piece of life. If you are alive and breathing, he hates you. And that fuels him to kill you, because he's died, keep it real, tons and tons upon thousands of times. Now, a lot of that was towards the beginning of his life when he was a baby dropped on that planet. But as I said, eventually, once you kill him one way, you can't kill him that same way again. This is a guy who's been killed, again, thousands of times, and none of those ways will work anymore. So what are the X-Men going to do that will actually put him down for real? But let's talk about his offense, because he has poisoned claws that even the most powerful beings in DC, like Darkseid himself, will succumb to the poison of these claws. If you're whomping Darkseid with your poison, all these X-Men are in deep, deep trouble. Not only that, he develops powers based on the people he's fighting. If somebody comes at him with a certain move, he automatically evolves to defend against that move. Martian Manhunter, he got a fire attack. He get a fire attack against Martian Manhunter that just appeared from nowhere because he's weak to it. His claws extended out of his body in order to hit Superman from a distance. In fact, he figured out that Superman was weak to psionic attacks and in the moment developed psionic attacks to attack Superman. And he's fast. He's hit Superman. He's hit the Flash, Green Lantern, Martian Manhunter, and Wally West Flash before they could even react to him. His speed blitz is that it takes the Flash off guard. What is Jubilee going to do when the Flash is too slow? And he's stronger than Superman. He broke Superman's arm. I didn't think that was possible. He did it. He has claws. He stabbed them all the way through Superman. Again, didn't think that was possible. This guy hits you and creates giant explosive craters whenever he hits you. And in a great moment that I thought was appropriate here, he grabbed a tree off the ground and flung it, and it went all the way through Blue Beetle's airship while he was in there with Booster Gold. Where's the force field, Booster? It smashed and annihilated the spaceship like it was Captain Marvel flying through it with a tree. And if you could do that to Blue Beetle's futuristic spaceship, you could do that to any aircraft that the X-Men bring to the table. A tree will get it done. And the last thing to mention, Doomsday is a character who seems to get stronger the longer he fights. This fight, allegedly, should last a little while. And the thing is, if he gets rid of all of the early characters and all the weaker ones first, Doomsday does, he's just going to keep upping his strength as he fights to be able to handle the medium level, the high level, and the Omega and alleged Omega level mutants that James might bring to the table. At the end of the day, Doomsday has too much power for anyone on that team to stop, even if they're all together, and that's my point number one.
So much to push back on from what you just said. So much nonsense, a term coined by Ray Stickiness. All right, here's the thing. The X-Men have fought and been beings of pure power before. I'll get into this later. Someone who's raging with crazy power like that, yeah, they've been there, they've done that, and they've overcome it. Remember, this is the X-Men we're talking about. On top of that, Doomsday, just like Ray Stickiness, hates everything and everyone. We get it. He's full of rage. He's crazy. He destroys everything. By the way, that's the same thing for Doomsday as well. All right, now, in terms of Poison Claws, good thing Wolverine, who will be occupying Doomsday for a lot of this fight, has, I don't know, a healing factor. So good luck keeping him down with that poison. You know, just not going to be working. And finally, as a really important note for Race to Canis, as we saw in the first episode, Cyclops can free fall from a plane as it got destroyed and just be like, great, great job, smile, and use his optic blast to fall almost from what looked like orbit, by the way, and safely land on the ground using his optic blast to kind of cushion the blow and slow his momentum down and hit the ground safely. Just putting that because in a previous episode of Who Would Win, where, you know, he was fighting Master Chief and Ray said, well, Master Chief can fall from orbit and survive. Evidently, Cyclops can do the same thing. Just putting that out there, that has nothing to do with anything. Let me get to my point number one. And for my point number one, let's just break down the X-Men team currently during the X-Men 97 series, shall we? Look, we all think we know the X-Men, but the X-Men 97 team has some interesting members added to it, as well as pre-existing members as well. So let's go through it. There's Cyclops. He commands the X-Men in the field. We know this. He's got these concussive optic blasts from his ruby red visor. This stuff can take off the head of a Sentinel. It can slow his fall. He can use it just to move himself away from areas. This person is an expert, and he's a superhuman accurate shooter of these optic blasts as well. It can make him ricochet off anything. This guy's awesome. Of course, there's Jean Grey. She and Cyclops are married right now. She has insanely powerful telekinetic and psionic powers. She's a super powerful telepath, can also create force fields and read minds. This person can do it all. Of course, there's Wolverine. That healing factor, the animal-like senses, the super strength, the super reflexes, and made more dangerous by the adamantium skeleton and claws he doesn't hesitate to use. Fun fact, he has a berserker mode that makes him many more times dangerous and furious. This person's awesome. Of course, there's Beast, the blue-haired super genius with simian-like powers, which means super strength, speed, and agility. By the way, he's also a crazy genius and a great, great fighter as well. There's Rogue, one of my personal favorites, who has all of the insane superpowers of Captain Marvel. Remember, she absorbed all of Captain Marvel's powers, such as flight, invulnerability, super speed, class 100 strength, as well as having the mutant ability to drain anyone's life force or powers and memories with just a touch. This is crazy. Of course, everyone's going nuts for Gambit. Gambit is great. He's got that mutant ability to channel and then change charge objects with explosive purple kinetic energy. A feat he typically performs with trademark weapon playing cards, but he can do this with anything, any large objects. He even kinetically charged Wolverine's adamantium claws to make them explosive when he starts clawing into people, because that's just fun. There's Jubilee, of course, possibly, according to Race to Canis, the most dangerous of all the X-Men. Now, she's that bubblegum-popping young recruit of the X-Men who has that mutant ability to generate colorful fireworks, or actually multicolored globules of energy plasmoids. Say that five times real fast. And they vary in degrees of power and intensity, and she's great at using them. There's Bishop, who's been added to the team. That's that time-traveling mutant bounty hunter from that alternate future in the year 2055, I think. And he's got the power to absorb energy and then project that energy in the form of concussive blasts. He's also a great soldier, a warrior, and has that crazy powerful gun from 2055. There's Sunspot, a.k.a. Robert DaCosta, new to the team. This is a solar-powered mutant who can absorb energy and utilize it for physical strength, durability, super speed, energy blasts, and so many other powers. There's Morph, one of my favorites, a mutant who can change and shapeshift into whatever they want. Fun fact, he's also got super strength and can somewhat duplicate someone's non-energy-based physical superpowers. What do I mean by that? If he shapeshifts into Angel, who's got wings, he can duplicate flight. He can also kind of go into like a Colossus mode where he looks like Colossus. He's not as strong, of course, but he's got some intense durability and some degree of super strength. He can duplicate that as well. And then, of course, Race to Canis, the Omega-level mutant members of the team. And keep in mind that Omega-level means that their power can't be measured because it's limitless. There's Storm, who controls all aspects of weather and the elements. She can create country-level destroying storms and tornadoes, shoot powerful blasts of electricity, or just command it to hit targets from the sky, can fly herself, attack from super long ranges. Don't forget that she not only uses her powers to fight, but also her intelligence and tactical skills to outmaneuver skills can enable her to outmaneuver her opponent. She's just really insanely intelligent as well. And finally, new to the team as well, there's Magneto, one of my favorite. He's the mutant master of magnetism. Listen to the last episode of Who Would Win. You can tell how great Magneto is. He can create super powerful force fields, can withstand almost anything because of that, as well as trap super powerful beings in them. He can control metal at the molecular level, can make it do whatever he wants. He can shoot super powerful blasts of energy, can fly. Remember, he was the one who maintained and constructed Asteroid M, which was a sanctuary for mutants in orbit of the Earth, I don't know how many thousands of miles in this into space, and he was controlling that huge thing himself and making it safe for everyone to breathe, had power, whatever. That's all thanks to Magneto's powers. Look, to put this bluntly, as powerful as Doomsday is, he's never faced quite the team like that of X-Men 97, the current version, that is. All of that is my point number one.
No, you're right, James. He's never fought a team like the X-Men animated team because he's been too busy fighting more powerful teams than that. Which of those characters that you mentioned could hold a candle to Superman? The answer is none. None of the people you mentioned can hang with Superman for more than 10 seconds. And this particular version of the X-Men, I would argue, is a weaker version because they were more limited, because they're only confined to what happened in the animated series, not this expansive, massive comic book universe. So Doomsday in the 90s defeated an impressively strong version of the Justice League of America and did so fairly easily. But you're going to come at me with a weaker version of the X-Men and think they've even got a chance? One thing they have working against them as well, the X-Men are essentially a giant family. They love and they care for each other. What happens when Doomsday murders the first three of them? They're going to be more worried about their own friends and family than they are defeating the monster in front of them.
The Justice League from the 90s that Doomsday beat is an impressively powerful version of the Justice, the one without Wonder Woman.
Those 90s characters don't mess around.
Without Batman, without the Flash, without...
Because Batman would have done anything against Doomsday in a first encounter. You're telling on yourself, James.
He's lasted against more powerful opponents. All right, listen. Omega, you've heard one point for me that's fantastic. You've heard something from Ray. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
All right. I like how you broke down the X-Men team and the powers. You know, great little division. Ray came off strong. You know, this is Doomsday. Now I'm very curious on your method of attack. And also, Ray, just to clarify, are we talking early stage Doomsday, mid-stage Doomsday, or the Doomsday of today?
You know, I'm talking about whichever Doomsday you think would win against the X-Men. That's the version that I'm talking about. I would argue that we're talking probably somewhere in the early New 52 era, or even, I don't necessarily think it's going to be today. The thing is, every time he dies, he comes back stronger. He's basically an anime character. And so I would put him sort of at the peak of his powers against a heroic team like this.
Really? You'd put him at the peak of his powers?
Yeah, I would keep your guys as baby infants and my guy as right. A killing machine.
That is the keen strategy and tactics of Race to Canis, ladies and gentlemen. All right, listen, this battle has, we knew it was going to be crazy. We just didn't know it was going to get this insane. Stay tuned because it's about to get even crazier. We'll be back for point number two.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And we're back. Let's hear it. Ray, hit us with your point number two.
Point number two for Doomsday. I've talked about his offensive output and who he is. Let's talk about his durability, because this is another area where I don't think the X-Men can even scratch him, much less defeat him. Doomsday as a character is the ultimate killing machine for a reason. Not just a power. He doesn't need to eat. He doesn't need to breathe, sleep, drink. His body is almost entirely solid mass with no internal organs present. There's nothing there to hit to bring him down. And he has masses of bone-like material covering his entire body, acting as some form of an exoskeleton. So he has natural armor on top of the fact that there's no insidey places to mess with. He also emits something called a death aura, which basically is like a pheromone that appears around him. This is one of his newer powers. And it saps the strength of characters around him. Sometimes it only affects them a little bit, makes them a little sleepy. Sometimes it straight up brings them down without a fight. So if he's fighting a large group of people, then there's only him. There's only Doomsday in one small spot. So they're only not all going to be able to hit him at the same time. We're going to have to do this Bruce Lee style in waves, a few at a time, in order to really get in on him, you know, using physics. And all that's going to happen is as soon as anyone gets anywhere near him, their strength is going to start depleting as soon as they get near. This is a character in Doomsday who fell from space, made a big crater, and walked away. I will always mention it when my character does that. He was in a spaceship that crashed into a planet and then walked away without a scratch on him. That's a heck of a lot of damage to walk away from. He got hit in an explosion that was a force equal to 1 million nuclear blasts. And he walked away from that with no problem as well. If you can survive a million nukes at the same time, what is Beast going to do to bring you to bear? The answer is nothing. This team can't do anything to him unless Morph can suddenly turn himself into Doomsday, even though they just met. Even then, I don't think it's going to be enough, because he could never become that powerful with his shape-changing abilities. Look, he also has limitless stamina. You're not going to get Doomsday tired. Doomsday fought Superman for an entire day's time and never slowed down. He's not going to wear down. He's going to dispatch the X-Men way quicker than that anyway. He's also tanked energy attacks. X-Men can bring that to the table. He took Darkseid's full Omega effect and was fine afterwards, was able to keep fighting. I can't think of an X-Men blast more powerful than that. Sorry, Cyclops. The Omega effect from Darkseid is a heck of a lot. Essentially, as I said before, Doomsday is the living version of Star Trek's The Borg. You hit him with something, and he immediately adapts and evolves to counter it. Or he's died to that in the past and has naturally created a counter to it in the future. And as an example, Superman attacked him with a sound attack because he realized he was weakness. Doomsday closed his ear canals naturally, so that way the sonic attack no longer affected him. A character named Radiant got him with radioactive damage, radiation, and he radiated Doomsday to the point of death. When Doomsday came back and fought Radiant a second time, radiation had no effect on Doomsday anymore. That's what we're dealing with. In fact, he's also got a full healing factor in regeneration. Even if you manage to scratch him, he heals from it in seconds. He's taken punches from Wonder Woman. James will argue that Wonder Woman is the second most powerful being in all of fiction, depending on if he's repping or against her. Just saying. He also took 4,035 punches from Superman. 4,035 punches in one barrage from Superman. What is the X-Men going to do like that? And the last thing to mention, he's developed mental resistances as well from fighting psionic-based characters. Sorry, Jean Grey, you're also not getting through. No one can hurt him, but he can hurt them a lot, a lot, a lot. And that's my point number two.
All right, Ray, I like where you're going here, because I'm actually going to have to use some interesting information here against you. Now, right now, you know, and this has been something that's with Doomsday for quite some time, Doomsday now feels pain. Whereas before, when he was first came out, he was like, you just hit him, he's going to keep going, and he'll tank that pain. He won't show any react. No, now he actually feels pain, and he actually fears getting hurt. If so, he believes someone can actually hurt him. Superman discovered this and actually stopped fighting him a while ago, saying, wow, now you get it. Now you're thinking. Now you can see there's consequences. And because you can now think a little bit, you can register pain, and that's not something you like so much anymore. With intelligence comes an understanding and more feeling of what's happening. Now, the Doomsday has, you know, really a short to maybe medium range of attack at best. Keep that in mind, because the X-Men don't always charge in close range. They can hit you from miles and miles away. The death aura you mentioned, not really a big deal, because if it does affect you, it's in super close range. And on top of that, it's not consistent. I actually wish it was, but it's not, because it's just a cool thing. And by the way, if a member of the X-Men team, family, I should say, goes down, you think they're all going to be like, oh no, a family member, let's get out. No. They'll redouble their efforts, at least that, and just continue and press on the attack and be charged up, because now someone's hurt a member of their family. Now, let me get to my point number two. And let's talk about that a little bit more. For my point number two, you got to realize the X-Men are more than just a team. See, unlike the Justice League, the X-Men are a group of people that fight together, train together, live together. Superman and Wonder Woman don't live in the Batcave with Batman, for example. They all have their own lives and come together when the need arises. The X-Men all live together, are part of each other's lives every single day. They know each other inside out. They know how to work together, know how to take orders from Cyclops and battle in the field. They've been training nonstop for years. They are an elite fighting unit. That's the difference. In DC Comics, the X-Men team is more like the Bat family than the Justice League in terms of their dynamics. They are much closer knit team, and any one of them are willing to sacrifice themselves for the rest of the team if it means the whole team will survive. That's the facts about them. And remember, on top of the decades worth of experience the team has fighting together, they also have been training in the really cool thing called the Danger Room, which is the world's most advanced real and virtual training simulation. It also uses alien Shi'ar tech to enhance it, and the world's most advanced tech as well. Each of the X-Men are fighting experts in terms of hand-to-hand combat, but they're also masters at using their powers combatively as individuals and within the X-Men team dynamic. Now, X-Men, let's talk about it. They've beaten Apocalypse. They beat Magneto. They beat the Juggernaut. They beat the giant robots known as the Sentinels, and their even bigger leader, the Master Mold, amongst many other insanely powerful teams of mutants. They've beaten them all. They've got crazy experience with all of this. What Doomsday brings to the table, it's insane. They faced it before. Trust me on that. Now, and speaking of Magneto, Magneto himself beat Apocalypse one-on-one. And all of this is why they have the tools to beat Doomsday. Look, Jean Grey can use her telekinetic powers to raise Juggernaut in the air if her telepathy doesn't work, which, by the way, we'll see about that. Cyclops can use his optic blast from a distance, making Doomsday having to deal with long-range attacks. Storm can use her powers of weather to manipulate or distract Doomsday, keep him off balance, all that kind of good stuff. Rogue can match some of Doomsday's power, again, match some of his power, and even absorb some of it while weakening him at the same time. This is something she did to Juggernaut as well. Gambit can supercharge large objects with kinetic energy to explode, and that will slow down Doomsday, not stop him, just slow him down. And Gambit's also really agile and great at not getting hit. He's going to continuously harass Doomsday and keep him off balance, or at least keep him preoccupied. Bishop, Jubilee, Beast, and Wolverine, yeah, they're not getting out of this too well, because they take the battle to Doomsday up close, which is the worst place you want to be with them, but they're going to go and get up close to them because, again, it's a random encounter. They don't know Doomsday just yet, but they'll learn real quick. I think the only person surviving out of that group is going to be Wolverine, and that's going to be crazy. And who's to say that Jean couldn't probe Doomsday's mind, relay that thought to morph telepathically, hey, shapeshift into this weird guy who's kind of muscular, wearing a blue suit and a red cape with a little curl in the front of his hair. For some reason, Doomsday is kind of freaked out by this guy, turned into him real quick. That's going to distract Doomsday. See, this battle isn't going to be if the X-Men can just overpower Doomsday. Oh, no. It's going to be about how well the X-Men team up and can use guerrilla warfare in order to get up and personal while employing hit-and-run tactics and use the team's mobility and ability to attack from every direction. I'm talking from up close and personal to mid-range to even miles away, because they have a very distinct way of beating Doomsday, a way that Doomsday has no defense against that. But we'll get to that soon enough. All of that is my point number two.
I'm glad that you're trying, James. You're still out there throwing punches. You know, you're kind of like the NFL team that's been eliminated from the playoffs already, like halfway through the season. You're last year's Carolina Panthers, James. And I think it's admirable. You're still out there putting in a yeoman's effort even though you have no chance at getting through. Look, Doomsday is fueled by pain and rage. He gets more powerful and very Hulk-like in some ways, the more angry he gets. So if you're saying he's feeling pain, that's just going to make him madder and make him more powerful. And you think he's going to be worried about Superman if Morph somehow, this bizarre plan that doesn't make any sense, suddenly Jean Grey goes into Doomsday's brain, she can't, and she figures out that he's fought Superman a bunch of times, I guess, and then she somehow relays a perfect example of Superman to Morph to turn into, and he does it flawlessly. That means that he's going to get attacked next, and Morph won't have Superman's powers or durability. Morph dies 2 seconds after trying this plan because Doomsday's taken the heat vision of Superman to the mouth at close range and then sent him flying. He killed Superman. Flight doesn't matter. Long range doesn't matter. You know who can hang back and hit you from a distance? Superman. And he got murdered. And the X-Men, they're a family. Do they always get along, James? Do they always listen to each other? When things go south, do they always got each other's backs? Or do they often scatter to the winds when something happens and they go about and their own path, and many of them can't be found until they're traced later? You know the answer to that question.
Oh, yeah. The question is, that may happen after they win the battle. By the way, Ray Cicadas, on a side note, you're saying that it's ridiculous, the whole thing I'm positing here, that Jean Grey probes Doomsday's mind for something really obscure and then plant and then takes that information and then somehow uses that and morph and puts it in Morph's mind. And then
correct.
Got it. So you're saying the exact same thing you said that Goku could do to Superman, even though Goku has no real telepathic powers, which got you the win in the Goku versus Superman, who would win battle. You're saying that whole strategy you suggested is nonsense. You heard it here first, Legion of Audience. All right, listen,
look,
I'll make
I'm saying that I am a lot like Doomsday. Once it's worked once, it's not going to work again.
You're exactly like Doomsday. When you show up, no one wants you there. All right, listen, we are at the turning point. Al Mega, all things geek culture lead to you. You've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Okay, right now, James, man, I love the team style attack. You know, the armed forces style. I mean, we have a front line, a middle, and a back, right? We got the Marines, we got the Army, we got our Green Berets. I feel that. You know, you're talking about speed. We definitely know who's dying first in a battle like this, for sure. But again, man, it's Doomsday. He has taken down major league heroes, major league villains. I love how you talk that Gene thing. Yes, messing with a stronger opponent's brain tends to work. But we're talking about someone that's just about almost mindless. Yes, he may have a little bit of sentience, but that sentience, as Ray has been speaking, has been hate. You had a chance to do something in that battle, and you did not mention it. I can't give it away, but if you mentioned that right now, then you would have been in the lead. But right now, my brother, you know, I got to hear where we're going to turn around. Can you turn me around now? I hope you can read my mind and see where I'm trying to come from. That if there's only one thing that could stop Doomsday at this point in time, but has not been spoken about, that I think. But right now, it's Doomsday. You cannot mess with the beast, the force that is Doomsday right now. I mean, Ray's arguments are on the spot and raised on his homework. So have you, James. I'm not taking anything away from you, but there's something in the battle that's missing that would sway me, and it's not happening yet.
All right. You know, this is the thing. Al Mega is able to kind of see what a lot of people can't and come up with, you know, the truth of the matter. I see where you're coming from. I think I understand what you're saying, but we'll have to see about that because this battle is getting even crazier than it was before. Stay tuned for point number 3. And we're back. This is for all the marbles. Ray, go ahead and hit us with your point number 3.
Point number 3 for Doomsday. Let's just tie this all up and just talk more about who he is and what Doomsday has done. Because Doomsday is over 250,000 years old. And that's not a quiet 250,000 years. That is a violent, aggressive 250,000 years. You want to talk about battle experience. You want to talk about Doomsday's probably fought multiple of every single one of the X-Men throughout his history. I would argue that the X-Men have never faced a monster to the level of Doomsday in their own world, that being the animated world, remember. We're not talking about the comic book version of the X-Men. What have they fought in the animated series that could even partially rival what Doomsday is? Doomsday is a character who killed 1,000 Green Lantern Corps members, like, in one battle. I mean, you're talking about these force fields, and Magneto can do this, and the creative powers of 1,000 Green Lanterns, all with Green Lantern rings, doing constructs and force fields and all of that. I could also mention Doomsday punctured those force fields like they were tissue paper. If they can't stand up to him, what chance does this particular X-Men team have? Doomsday once got locked away in the Phantom Zone, and everybody thought, okay, we got him in sort of the stasis, we put him in this mind prison, he can't get out. Except that he punched his way out of the Phantom Zone. They literally used the phrase, Doomsday broke the Phantom Zone. If you can keep out all of those Superman villain characters, General Zod and whatnot, you can't keep out Doomsday. Outrageous. He's so powerful, he fridged. If you don't know fridging, that's killing somebody off screen and then just mentioning it later. It's a ridiculous, terrible narrative thing to do. But Doomsday fridged the Justice League team of the Flash, Martian Manhunter, and Plastic Man. He's so ridiculous, he beat them off screen and then came to do the actual battle. That's outstanding. He's knocked Darkseid unconscious before. He has taken Plastic Man, again, one of the top DC characters, right? He's got the stretching powers, the Toon Force almost ability to, he got hit by Superman and just bounced it back at him and took him out, right? He shredded Plastic Man. He just started ripping him into pieces and shreds, and Plastic Man couldn't come back from that. He's defeating Toon Force characters now. Outrageous. He tied Wonder Woman's lasso around her legs, swung her around, and flung her away. So what magical items are going to work against Doomsday if the lasso doesn't work? Superman himself, who has, in his own world, fought Doomsday for an entire day straight. He said to other people on his team, it is impossible to last a full minute fighting Doomsday. So which of these X-Men? Superman says it can't be done. What, we're not going to believe the Man of Steel? I do. Doomsday, what is, which of these characters is going to go toe-to-toe with him and not get shredded? The answer is, I don't see one on the screen in front of me. He, of course, I'll mention it before, I'll mention it again, killed Superman. Superman also, I think, would do a very good job against his team. Jean Grey would probably have an answer against Superman, but Jean Grey doesn't have an answer against Doomsday because he's been beaten by that before and he's come back and now has the immunity to it. And the last thing I'll mention, come on, I have to mention it. He fought the Justice League of America one time with literally one hand tied behind his back, and he beat that team in battle. With one hand, with one arm tied behind his back, that old saying, he literally did that. A full-out Doomsday. Height of his powers is shredding the animated X-Men. It's unfortunately, X-Men 97 is not going to live to see X-Men 98 if they meet Doomsday. And that's my point number three.
Wow. All right. Let me just kind of get to this. Look, again, no, just I love Doomsday. Doomsday is one of my favorite villains of all time. Here's the thing. When Doomsday punched his way out of the Phantom Zone, which is insanely impressive, it took way longer than 2 minutes, right? It took him a while to punch through the Phantom Zone. And according to the Who Would Win rules, all you have to do is incapacitate your opponent for 2 minutes and you get the win. So whoever did that got the official Who Would Win win or victory over Doomsday. Everyone that Ray just mentioned that Doomsday fought all had a very similar strategy, which was take on Doomsday up close and personal and try to beat him, try to hold him, you know, try to beat him unconscious or kill him or whatever. And they all kind of directly took him on. Not a great strategy for taking on Doomsday, just putting that out there. And the Justice League, the version of the Justice League, I've already mentioned this before, that took on Doomsday when Doomsday was still having an arm tied behind his back, that did not include Wonder Woman, that did not include the Flash, that did not include the more powerful versions. Superman was not there at the same time. He came in after. It was, I think, Blue Beetle. It was Booster Gold. I think he took Booster Gold or Blue Beetle and started slamming a car door into their head over and over, which was very 90s for a Superman villain to do. I don't know why I did it, just did. All right, let me get to my point number three. This is going to be a big one, so hold on to your seats for this one. For my point number three, Let's talk about Doomsday's weaknesses and how the X-Men are going to win. Sure, look, you look at Doomsday and you think, how could this creature that beat Superman lose its fight? But Doomsday has some real weaknesses and really more limitations that play right into the X-Men's strengths. Okay, first of all, just like Race to Canis, Doomsday has some extreme intellectual limitations. Okay, here's the deal. Doomsday operates on rage and the instinct to destroy. We get it, but it's not strategy or reason. Nothing even close to what the X-Men employ in terms of tactics. And this has been exploited by Superman and other characters to outsmart Doomsday, to lead him into traps or situations where brute force alone is just not enough to get a victory. Then there's the emotional manipulation. Okay, not a weakness in the traditional sense, but exploiting Doomsday's rage and anger and aggression can, you know, be a strategy, lead him to make mistakes or direct his destruction away from an intended target. Superman's done it. Don't get me even started, by the way, on what Wolverine will be able to do to him in a similar way to what he could do against the Hulk, namely be a perfect moving target for his rage that gets destroyed, heals, gets back up, and just keeps on going. That's going to occupy Doomsday for quite some time. And these weaknesses play into the strengths of the X-Men, especially the 97 team, or the X-Men 97 team, I should say. You got to remember, they've already fought and beaten someone very similar to Doomsday, namely the Juggernaut. And the X-Men take their experiences, they study them, they come up with better battle plans to deal with that same threat or even more powerful version of that, because this is what the team does. But here's the big thing, okay? Here's Doomsday's biggest weakness. It's called battlefield removal. Okay, Superman did this to Doomsday when he sent him to like the edge of time using the mother box. This is definitely a weakness for Doomsday. Remember, he can't fly. He can't teleport. He can't open portals unless he punches his way through a dimension, which takes a ton of time, way more than 2 minutes needed to win this fight, which means if he is removed from the field of battle, he doesn't have a way of coming back. And this is how he's been beaten and has continued to be beaten over and over, whether, again, he's sent to the Phantom Zone, he's teleported away between different teleporters so he never fully phases in one spot, or simply trapped in something and sent into space. And even though he supposedly comes back impervious to whatever superpower or ability he was beaten by before, battlefield removal is a strategy. That's not a power or weapon, which means it still continues to work on him over and over and over again. In fact, if you look at all the times Doomsday's actually lost and been beaten successfully, it's typically because someone has removed him from the field of battle and it takes forever for Doomsday to get back. Now, the X-Men have Magneto on the team, someone who can control and build an asteroid in space that's miles in size. You know, just keep that in mind with the addition of X-Men or Magneto to the team. So here's how this fight's going to go down. They're going to face off. Now, a massive battle is going to ensue right away. At first, the X-Men team are surprised by the sheer ferocity and power of Doomsday. Jubilee does her best. She's going down first. In trying to save her, Beast and Morph get a few shots in, but are smashed through several buildings by Doomsday. They're out of it. Bishop and Gambit use longer distance hit and run tactics that don't do any real damage, but keep Doomsday occupied. Cyclops gets to the scene. He unloads with an insane optic blast of red fiery force that pushes Doomsday back for a brief second. Cyclops unloads even further, but Doomsday just starts to walk right through that and walks towards him, kind of making it look easy. Cyclops keeps firing, and just as Doomsday gets close enough and is about to reach him and destroy him and crush him, Cyclops is pulled away and into the air by none other than Rogue, something she does all the time. And this is when Wolverine steps in, unleashes his adamantium claws, and charges Doomsday in a ferocious battle reminiscent of every insane Wolverine versus Hulk battle we've ever seen. Keep in mind, the Hulk is a creature that does exist in that version of the Marvel Universe. Yeah, the X-Men have plans against him as well. This is going to be fun. Now, while this is happening, Storm, Rogue, and even Magneto have been getting all the civilians out of the area so they can now cut loose. Cyclops quickly takes command and says Wolverine is buying some time, but he won't last long. Storm and Magneto get in a position. Rogue, you know what to do. Rogue flies in the air, takes off her gloves, and dive bombs behind Doomsday, where she tackles him because she caught him by surprise. Now touching him directly, Rogue absorbs some of Doomsday's powers and ferocity just as she's done with Juggernaut. And now she's amped up with incredible power and taken some from Doomsday. Rogue throws a slightly, I mean slightly weakened Doomsday into the air, where he's hit by a super powerful tornado, numerous lightning strikes from the sky thanks to Storm, and while he's being held aloft by this tornado that's just whipping him around, Magneto wraps ton after ton of metal around Doomsday. With combined effort, Jean Grey and Magneto combine their powers and create this telekinetic magnetic force field wrapped around a super powerful kind of energy force, whatever you call it, bubble. Doomsday, by the way, he's already fighting his way out of the metal he's encased in. However, that's when Storm, Jean Grey, Magneto, and Rogue combine their powers once more, and in one coordinated effort, launch Doomsday into space. He goes way past the moon, and they just leave him there to float in space because he's got no way of coming back to Earth. He'll get there eventually, but he's out in space. He's been battlefield removed, just how he's been defeated many, many times by other beings. This is why the X-Men 97 team wins, because they have the key to beating Doomsday the way he's already lost before. That is my point number three.
James, much like an Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers jersey, I'm just not buying it. Now, you mentioned characters that had gotten under Doomsday's skin before. These are characters who had already fought him several times and already knew who he was. No prior knowledge is allowed in these battles. And you even said the X-Men had to study Juggernaut, had to study Hulk, who, Hulk never actually appeared in the X-Men animated series, but there was a reference to Hulk in the series, implying that he existed. I'll give you that. But if you're going to try to come with a battle strategy that would take out Juggernaut or Hulk and apply it to Doomsday, you're going to get wrecked. You're going to get wrecked. He is not that. He is better than that, okay? But they're also not allowed to prep to fight Doomsday either. Look, Martian Manhunter's more powerful than any X-Men psionic mutant on the table, and Doomsday defeated his psychic powers both when he was the mindless version and the more sentient version that came later. Doesn't really matter which version of Doomsday comes. All that mental crap is not going to work. What's actually going to happen is the X-Men are going to start showing up. And you're right. The X-Men, you say, oh, they like to sit back. I've watched the cartoon, James. They like to sit back to a point, and then they like to get in and mix it up. They get into the battle. Even in the most recent one, Storm got knocked around a couple of different times in two different episodes, getting too close to the battle, didn't she? So what's going to happen is Doomsday, of course, is going to just start smiting. He's going to drop Gambit. He's going to drop Cyclops. Cyclops is going to prepare his optic beam. Well, Doomsday's taking heat vision from Superman to the face. So Doomsday's either going to dodge it or take it and slice his way through Cyclops. Jubilee, gone. Beast, gone. Storm and Magneto, Rogue, they're powerful. They might have a chance. Jean Grey's going to try to do some telekinesis. It's not going to work. And what's ended up going to happen here is at least a half dozen mutants will be dead on the ground. Charles Xavier's mission is all about saving mutant lives. It is not about throwing them away. What they would do is what Charles Xavier would want them to do, and that's not let any more mutants die after the first handful do, and he would want them to retreat. He would want them, as you said, James, study the opponent and come back at a later time with an actual strategy. But they don't have that option in the first encounter with Doomsday unprepared. I'm sorry, Doomsday brings it down.
All interesting stuff. Look, we got to go to the judge. Al, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself, and it's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Al has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we have a very special patron, Douglas Reigert Johnson. You're back in the saddle again, sir. Let's make it happen. DRJ.
DRJ, okay. DRJ, let's have you go because we're doing the X-Men today. Let's have an X-Men themed villain. Let's have DRJ go up against the shape-shifting and very cunning Mystique.
Mystique. Oh, Mystique's one of my favorite characters from the X-Men, but unfortunately, she ran into Douglas Reigert Johnson in a dark alley. So Mystique is pretending to be a beggar. She's trying to bum for change. And Douglas Reigert Johnson says, I got to save money for the Who Would Win Show Patreon. I'm sorry, I don't have money for you today. Go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and don't give it. I don't know where I'm going with this. The point I'm trying to make is Mystique's going to say, gotcha, you jerk. You should give money to the homeless because that's what good people do. Douglas Reigert Johnson says, you forget one thing. I knew who you were the whole time. Mystique turns into Mystique. He says, you were not actually a beggar. I said that to get you to reveal yourself. And now the beatdown happens. So Mystique is going to try to jump around and do flips and try to grab him by around the neck with her legs and slam him into a dumpster or something. And he's just going to push her out of the way, take her head, slam it into that dumpster, slam the lid on it, throw her in the dumpster and say, next time, pretend to be trash because that is what you actually are. He's sassy today. He must have just gotten broken up with or something. It was a bad day to run into DRJ in an alley, but he takes out Mystique, and you too could do so if you're a patron.
Wow, well done, DRJ. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Al, the king of geek culture, I don't know what else to call you, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Doomsday and the X-Men 97 team, a.k.a. the X-Men Animated Series team.
Gentlemen, first of all, great job. Wonderful points, you know, coming from both sides, you know, Ray's passion, James' passion. I dig it. The unstoppable force that is Doomsday versus the X-Men 97 team from now. I love the strategy, James. The attack, you know, I picture this whole thing in my head. It was a cinematic sequence. But you're comparing Doomsday to a Juggernaut? No. I mean, Doomsday would rip Juggernaut in half, you know what I mean? Without a sweat. And, you know, an X-Men would have sweated. I know that we had the Phoenix Force in this, and it wasn't used, huh? I mean, again, if we're focusing just on the Disney, not whole 90, if we would have used the whole X-Men 97, going back into the OG, because in my opinion, the only thing that could kind of really mess with Darkseid is someone on a cosmic, psionic power level. I mean, again, he's, as Ray said, he's taking out Superman, he's taking out Leagues, he's taking a Lantern Corps, and a Lantern Corps is a corps. That, you know, they don't go fight directly all the time. They will fight as strategically, as you mentioned that the X-Men would. I think you gave Wolverine also too much credit. Yes, you get close, but it'll basically be one of these where Doomsday's going to be holding Wolverine's head and Wolverine's going to try and slash and not get in there. As you said, Jubilee, Sunspot, these guys are out almost immediately. The real big powerhouses is the Goddess Storm, Rogue, and Magneto, and Jean, as you said. But no, no matter what Magneto throws at Doomsday, Doomsday has no metal on him. He's raw power, made of nothing but muscle. He'll rip through anything he got there. Rogue may touch him and give him a few pounds, but at the end of the day, she's not going to be able to even take that much raw power that he has. You know what I mean? Doomsday is just an unstoppable force and a beast. And I love the fact that, yes, the battlefield removal, as you call it. But what it really is, you're sending him to the end of time. It's entropy. Entropy is his weakness, not battlefield removal. You know what I mean? So if you, because again, battlefield removal, he does come back. Send him to his ass at the end of time, entropy, that's what it is. Because basically, if I were you, I would have used the Phoenix Force, and Phoenix would have basically just erased him as many times as she needed to, but erased, done deal. Oh, he's here again? Snap, doing like a Thanos. And that's what, if you would have brought me that, then that's the edge. The edge would have been Jean as the Phoenix Force, but this X-Men team, no way in heck could handle the brute force of a Doomsday. Doomsday is just too uber powerful. And yeah, and then his, you know, that death stank that he has. I mean, again, Jubilee be the first one now with little firecrackers. I'm sorry, as you said, she's done. She's the weakest link, and the toughest link being between Jean and Magneto. Those would be the two final ones standing in this battle, to be honest. But they'll be the final ones standing. As in dead, because Doomsday will be victorious. Once again, I'm on this show and I find myself siding with the mighty Ray Decanus.
All right, listen, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Al Mega has somehow decided that Doomsday would win, even though I showed how the X-Men could use his one big weakness, battlefield removal, in a way to get the win. Al, I'm going to have to say something. I disagree. I find myself in this position a little bit. I disagree with what the judge has to say, but because it's you, because it's the king of all geek culture, I have to respect your decision. And to answer your question, I didn't feel it was right to bring the Phoenix Force in because the Phoenix Force is not a consistent thing with Jean Grey throughout the series. It happened over a few episodes here. The Phoenix may appear in this season of X-Men 97, possibly, spoiler, what have you. But I just didn't feel it was a consistent thing with Jean Grey to actually say, hey, and she'll just tap into it because there's got to be so much stuff that happens beforehand. With all that being said, we need to say congratulations to Ray Decanus, who got a great victory with Doomsday. Ray, tell the Legion of Audience how you feel right now.
James, this is the difference between myself and you, because I absolutely, in this matchup, would have pounded on the Phoenix Force over and over and over again, because unlike James Gavsey, myself and Doomsday are winners. And I would have not left any meat on the bone. I would have felt no compunction. If it was against a character lesser than Doomsday, I probably would have left it off the table. But if you're going up against the ultimate killing machine from DC Comics, you use every single trick you can. I would argue that being Canadian cost you today.
Hey, listen, the X-Men have a ton of Canadian voice talent from the original series. Wolverine's Canadian. Deadpool's Canadian. Look, here's the whole deal. There's lots of different ways to win, but there's only one way that people want to win. And that's the path I took yet again in today's episode. That's all good. I still disagree with the judge because I think battlefield removal is something that Magneto and Storm and Rogue combined can do to him. But all that being said, Al Mega, you have yet again proven yourself to be the king of all geek culture. Please come back on the show. Great job today. And tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you online and give one more shout out to all things heroic.
Well, this is what's up, folks. If you want to follow me personally, is at The Real Al Mega just about everywhere. But of course, you can follow me and my amazing team, Comic Crusaders, at Comic Crusaders just about everywhere as well. Visit the website, comiccrusaders.com. And please make sure to follow the Heroic Awards Facebook page so you can stay tuned to where exactly what's popping, where you got to be at C2E2. All right. Please be there and support Indy. All right, this is the way to go, baby. For Indy by Indy. Wepa!
Well said. All right, Race to Cadence, you got another great victory today. Tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you.
First off, I want to say early returns. Al Mega, Judge of the Year 2024? Question mark? The answer is probably yes. He heard the intoxicating mind fog as if it was Doomsday's death aura all around him, and he did not get weaker. I can't believe a judge who listens to what I say makes me so happy because he fought, Doomsday did, 1,000 of the Green Lantern Corps simultaneously, and Al put together, they wouldn't just fight, they knew who he was, they used tactics such as battlefield removal, and it did not work. And he listened, and he shut James down, and I couldn't be happier. Al, we might need you to judge every single episode for the entirety of 2024. We'll talk off air. We'll make that happen. But otherwise, I will have to say that, of course, Al is a great judge. I am a great competitor. Doomsday is a great character and champion. And James Gavsey is also on the Who Would Win show. I don't know if that makes 90 in a row for me on this show. It sure feels like it. I can't even remember the last time James Gavsey even won a match. Have I won every match this year? I'm being told by our producers that I have not, in fact, won every match of season 6, but that's okay because I won this match. I've staved off the darkness for one more week. I know that James is going to be coming with some sort of bizarre matchup to throw me off next week because I know how he operates, but in this particular boss battle match of animated X-Men versus Doomsday, the boss did win the battle because Doomsday is the ultimate boss. You can find me on Threads at AlmightyRay316 because that's where you should be anyway.
We just asked where you were online. We didn't need the whole diatribe. You can find me.
Oh, it doesn't matter what you asked for because you were getting it one way or the other.
Just hear a series of clicks and whistles. You can find me on X, aka Twitter. Race to Cadence's favorite social media platform.
Don't know
where
what that
he is. Follows everything Elon Musk says and does everything Elon wants him to do. Also on Instagram and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember, Tesla robots will be coming available hopefully in 2025 for under $20,000. I know where we're spending our advertising budget that year. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and, of course, TikTok, hopefully for a little while, at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Race to Cadence, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
Hi, I'm Erica.
And I'm Cassandra.
And we're the hosts of Trashy Trashy.
We're a podcast filled with trashy news stories and garbage people.
Did you leave the scene of an accident to go tanning?
Do you refer to wearing the strap down on your Crocs as sports mode?
Have you ordered Domino's online before they even open in the morning?
Are you switching the same AAA batteries from your TV remote to your vibrator instead of just buying more batteries?
Or are you normal?
Check us out wherever you download podcasts.